case file for Theodore D. Bear.
December 1st, 1930-something or other. I had just stepped into the office, number 129 of the D. Bear Detective Agency, from out of the cold blizzard that had just begun to blow in mid-afternoon. I started up the radiator to warm up the office. I was about to put on a pot of some hot cocoa when the phone rang. I picked up the receiver and said hello.
Hello? D. Bear Detective Agency, Theodore D. Bear speaking.
The voice on the other end chuckled at first and then spoke. It was a young dame inquiring if it was possible to come into the office at 7:30 p.m. for a consultation. I asked her if 8 p.m. would be fine because I needed to pick up my other suit from the dry cleaners before they closed. She said that it would have to be 7:30 because she has to be in bed by 8. I agreed to the allotted time. I guess I could pick up my suit tomorrow morning. But I was firm to tell her that she had to be here at 7:30 on the dot, no later. I hung up the phone and resumed making my hot cocoa, foraging through the cupboards for marshmallows. But to my despair, we had no mallows. Looks like I'll be having my hot cocoa without those wondrous white puffs that get puffier in hot cocoa. At 7:30, there was a knock on the office door. I didn't see any shadow cast on the frosted glass of the door. I opened the door but didn't see anyone. I closed the door and went back to my desk. Again, there was a knock and again, no one outside. I made it halfway to my desk when a loud banging started like someone was kicking it. I opened the door again, went to step out into the hallway when I tripped over something. Immediately, I jumped to my feet, got into my bear jutsu stance, preparing for anything. When I looked down to see what I had tripped over, I realized that I had just tripped over my 7:30. It was a good thing my bushy face hid my embarrassment as I realized that I had nearly been taken out by the 9-year-old girl sitting on the chair in front of my desk. I was hoping the flush on my face was from the heat of the hot cocoa. I asked her how the D. Bear Detective Agency could be of service. She proceeded to tell me that she was in dire need of help, that she was sick with grief, stress, and worry for the past few weeks, and that she had also been dealing with bouts of insomnia, too. Which was rather impressive to hear a 9-year-old articulate. I asked her if she had come to the right place and that this wasn't something a mug of hot cocoa or warm milk couldn't fix. She assured me, again with that impressive articulation, that she was in the right place. I even asked if she had seen a doctor, but she said that it wasn't anything medical that was affecting her. So I asked her what was the cause of her distress. She said that her best friend had gone missing. I asked if she had consulted with her parents and the authorities, that's fancy speak for the police, to file a missing persons report. Her face became sad and her bottom lip curled. She said no one would believe her when she tried. While taking notes, I then asked what her friend's name was and what did they look like. She said that his name was Mr. Snuffleupums. Strange name, but who am I to judge? She said he was 14.5 inches tall, with brown and black splotchy fur, blue button eyes, and a yellow stitch on his right ear that her grandmother had sewn in when it had torn. Realizing that she had just described her teddy bear, I informed the young girl that I didn't handle these kinds of cases, and that maybe she should check her room, under her bed, or at school one more time. I was suddenly overcome with dread when her lower lip curled some more, her eyes becoming bigger with that sad puppy expression, and then she began to cry.
Oh no.
The entire office immediately became submerged. All of the furniture was floating. The little girl somehow managed to still be sitting in the chair, which was now floating, her tears flowing like water through a dam that was about to burst. Holding my breath, I swam to the surface of the water, which was now nearing the ceiling. As I came up for a breath of air, I cried,
"I'll take the case!"
After getting another mouthful of air, I swam to the office door. After a few mighty pulls, the door opened and water began to rush out. When the furniture finally stopped floating, the young girl hopped off the chair, hugged me, and shouted,
"Thank you!"
as she headed out the door. It was a good thing that I purchased those waterproof filing cabinets a month ago. Although I will have to drop off my currently wet suit when I pick up my clean one from the dry cleaners.
Tune in next time for another exciting episode of the Classified Case Files of Theodore D. Bear!